This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. A little chilly out there still. Supposedly we are in spring, but it does not feel like it, Len. I got up this morning and walked outside hoping for a little bit of spring in the air, and no, it is still cold outside.
Well, I don't like when I look ahead at like a 10-day forecast and I have temperatures in the 40s in April. I mean, come on.
And it's depressing.
Yeah.
Depressing.
Can't we do something about it?
I know. Well, the sun is out, though, because the days are longer,
that
which is nice,
good.
Which is nice, you know, but it's still chilly. So, hey, Len.
Sir.
Were your ears burning last night?
My ears were not. No, not at all.
I gave a speech at the Women's Republican Club of New York, where you have, I wouldn't exactly call them fans, but people.
The Women's Republican. Hang on a second.
Yes, yeah. The Women's Republican.
I
spoke at the Women's Republican Club.
What did you speak to them about?
I spoke to them about my book, Razzle Dazzle, The Battle for Broadway. It may come as a surprise to you, Len, but Republicans are culture vultures, too.
Really?
Culture is not just for you lefties. Republicans love Broadway shows and the opera and things like that.
I don't know about that. Are you sure?
A lot of them listen to, they listen to me on the show.
Of course
and
they
a
do.
Number of people came, a number of these very charming women came
up to you and said, what's wrong with that guy Berman?
How can you stand to work with Len Berman?
Go back to sports.
Oh, all I heard was, at 710 WOR, I love Rush, I love Hannity. Why is Lefty Len on that show in the morning with
you? I ask myself that every day. That's nothing new.
But, Len, I defended you. I said that he's more moderate than you might think, and it's good to have a debate and kick the issues around. And one of them said she hits the mute button whenever she hears your voice.
What are these women? These women live in a cave? Who are these women?
They look like they don't look like Stormy Daniels. They look like daughters of the American Revolution. Yeah, they're very sweet, nice
seven Republican
lady.
Women who live in New York.
Well,
this
I can't. All right, I can't say the house was exactly packed. All right, but
so they're really bitching. They can't. So they're these typical people that can only listen with one ear.
No. They just don't understand why an old commie like you is on 710 WOR.
Well,
I promised them that we would come back and I would bring you back.
Right.
And I will introduce you to them. And perhaps, Len, you can turn on the old Len Berman charm and woo some of those Republican women.
I'll give them the old razzle-dazzle.
From Simon & Schuster,
razzle,
my book, that's
dazzle.
It.
No, I, you know what? It is interesting, though, because every voice on this radio station, you know, tilts right.
Yeah.
So I like, they must hit the mute button when I come on. It's okay.
They do.
But I think people should listen to all sides. I do. Why? What's wrong with listening?
You should just see the way their faces scrunch up when they mention the name Len Berman.
Are you putting me on? Are you serious?
I'm sick.
Really?
A couple of women did come up to me and say, why? How can you work with?
Really?
And then it's like, ooh, the nose crinkles up.
Oh, boy.
Len
I love it.
Berman. But I want you to know.
What?
You're my partner in crime here, so I defended you to the death, Len.
Isn't that nice? That's very nice of you.
All right, the big three. It's the funeral for Michael Davidson, the 37-year-old firefighter who died in that blaze up in Harlem. Funeral services for Michael will be held this morning at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Service begins at 10 o'clock. Cardinal Timothy Dolan will be leading it, and I suspect, you know, most of the FDNY firefighters are going to be turning
out.
Oh,
yeah, there'll be some lineup.
Death has really touched a chord here in New York City. I mean, how brave could this guy be? He runs right into that awful blaze in Harlem and dies fairly quickly, leaving behind 4 kids, 3 girls, 1 boy. Eileen, his widow, of course, will be there, and his family. You saw those pictures of him on television. Beautiful family. The kids are adorable. He was a very nice looking young man.
And then when you figure with just 37 years old with 4 young kids, the youngest 1-year-old little girl, and his brother a firefighter, his dad was a firefighter, FDNY through and through. This is going to be some emotional ceremony. You'll see the lineup of all the firefighters today on Fifth Avenue, and we'll have Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene later this morning, because it's really going to be emotional.
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael Davidson, 37 years old. By the way, I see this is horrible. I see in the Post today, did you see where the fire was up in Harlem? Some thieves looted more than $36,000 in cash, jewelry, and pricey clothes from apartments of tenants injured in the blaze. Can you believe that?
No, I mean,
can you believe that?
Well, people, obviously, there was a lot of distraction and commotion there, and the thieves preyed on that and went in there to these apartments.
Hey, these monsters, it's unbelievable.
It is. Yeah.
Gosh, all right. Also in the big three, well, we can't really get rid of her just yet. Len's favorite porn star on the planet, Stormy Daniels. Still causing trouble for the president. Now she's
See, you're the problem. See, that's why these Republican women scrunch up their nose. Because you make outlandish, phony statements like my favorite porn star on the planet. Like, really? See, you say stuff like this.
You want Stormy Daniels in the big three every single morning.
No, you're the one who made up the big three today. And your favorite seven Republican women who you spoke to yesterday go, Len Berman. Yes. Because you make up these stories. I don't, she's not my favorite porn star. In fact,
who is your favorite porn star?
I don't know if I have. I have no idea. I really haven't thought about
She's 39 years old, which I guess in porn years is about 800 years old, Stormy Daniels. Well, she's looking to cash in. That's all this is about, Lynn. She wants to have the
the
non-disclosure agreement taken away so she can go on tour, sell a book, and make money. And now she's filed a lawsuit, which I think is kind of frivolous, against Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, because he called her a liar. She says calling her a liar is defamation.
Well,
ridiculous.
You said she's 39?
Yeah.
See, this isn't appropriate to say, but she looks the worst for wear.
She's a porn star, man. What do you expect of her?
Well, how hard does that work? Is that hard? Is that, that's not exactly like digging ditches in the Georgia sun.
Well, it's a very physically stressful kind of job, I would imagine. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
They don't wear too well, I'm afraid.
I wouldn't last in that profession.
But, you know, everybody
in
thinks
more ways than one.
But, you know, everybody thinks she's smart, and I actually thought
Stop shaking your head in there, Natalie.
I thought she acquitted herself well with that Anderson Cooper interview. Even Trump says she's smart, and Judd Apatow. Apparently, she appeared in a couple of his movies, and he likes her and says she's very smart. Yeah. Tweeted out some praise of her and whatnot. So.
She had a couple of cameos. She was in. I didn't realize that she was in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, two of Apatow's big hits. And he went on the talk show saying that she's just smart. And she does come across as smart. She knows what she's doing.
She became a porn producer and a writer of porn because we know how well-written porn is.
But you know what the White House says, Raj Shah.
I can say categorically that obviously White House didn't engage in any wrongdoing. The campaign or Mr. Cohen, the campaign or Mr. Cohen can address anything with respect to their actions.
Yep, they deny everything.
The president strongly, clearly, and has consistently denied these underlying claims, and the only person who's been inconsistent is the one making the claims.
Well, this is fair. She lied three times saying that she did not have an affair with Donald Trump. Three times she said that, and now she's gone back on her story. Trump has consistently said there was no affair. Turns out it's not really an affair. According to Stormy Daniels, it was a one-night stand.
Yeah. Well, sounds like she's your favorite porn star, because you keep talking about her. I didn't even bring her up, so tell that to your Republican women.
By the way, a friend of hers claims that Stormy still has the dress from the night that she and Trump got. I wonder if it's blue.
Well, here we go again with Monica Lewinsky dresses.
Well, when you say a dress with some affair with a president, you think of the blue dress.
And who's continuing to bring up all these stories? Riedel. Okay,
listen, it's wall-to-wall CNN coverage. I saw on Anderson Cooper last night.
It's on right now on CNN.
They had her lawyer on, Michael Avenatti, who I can't stand. He's thuggish. And Brent Blakely, who represents Michael Cohen.
He comes off really well.
The two of them were Jeffrey Toobin, the legal analyst for CNN. He's sitting in the middle of them. Yeah. These two guys are yapping each other back and forth. And Toobin, who, you know, generally has a lot to say, sat there like a toad on a log doing absolutely nothing. He had no way into this conversation with these two are going at it right and left. And even Anderson Cooper couldn't believe how these guys were knocking each other. But it was kind of fun. And,
entertaining, right?
Rendered.
That's what this is all about. We're just in one big reality
show. You know what's called, Len? A distraction.
One big reality program.
You know, Len, it's called a distraction. And the president needs to get back to work and do the people's business.
Really? Yeah, build that wall. That'll solve everything.
I can't
listen to that Len Berman. Hey, what is he saying?
How can you work with that Len Berman?
How can you work with him? How can you do that?
You know, why don't you invite them to one of your communist cell meetings?
Communist what?
Cell meetings, you know. You and
who?
Ethel Rosenberg and the whole gang of yours from the old days. And also rounding out the big three. Boy, it is. I love Cynthia Nixon. She is taking no prisoners when it comes to her battle with Governor Andrew Cuomo. So yesterday she blasted Governor Cuomo for mansplaining about sexual harassment and for enlisting a lawmaker accused of forcibly kissing a female staffer to combat misconduct against women. Now, this lawmaker, Jeff Klein, works with Governor Cuomo, and he was accused by Erica Vladimir of unexpectedly kissing her while they were smoking cigarettes outside an Albany bar following passage of the state budget on April 1st, 2015.
Yeah, well, that would cause someone to get excited. Oh, he passed the budget. Let's
make out.
Smack-a-rooney.
I have seen Andrew Cuomo mansplaining and lecturing women on sexual harassment. I have read about him lecturing Andrea Stewart Cousins, that Jeff Klein is more qualified in understanding suburban voters better than she does, despite her being a senator who oversees the suburbs of Westchester.
Okay. Got my vote. What the hell is she talking about?
Listen, I she's as left as they come. She's leftier than you are, Len. But I just don't like Governor Cuomo. And you know what? She's right. When she talks about mansplaining, there's something about the way Cuomo speaks. He is so condescending. He speaks so slowly as if we're all so stupid and he has to take the time so we can follow him. So I think she's on to something there.
Well, you are in rare form. You are labeling people. You're picking on people. My God, no wonder those Republican women love
you. They love me. My speech was really good last night.
Oh, I'm sure it was big, yeah.
Speaking of picking on people, the police are once again going after Mayor de Blasio. We'll tell you what they're upset about when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. But let's check in with traffic and Bernie Vider.
Good morning, everyone. On a Tuesday, it is March the 27th. Hope you're all doing well. We've got opening day at Citi Field in 2 days.
Oh, and we're giving away Mets tickets at 7:30 and a four-pack, I believe, at 8:30 today.
You got it.
Yeah.
So lots of Mets tickets coming your way. Don't call now. 7:30.
7:30.
We'll tell you when to call for two Mets tickets to Saturday's game. And then four Mets tickets. And not to slight the other team in town. Everybody's opening on Thursday, which is rare in baseball, where all the teams play the same opening day. It really is an oddity. Anyway, the Yankees will be opening in Toronto. To give them a little...
You and I will be at Citi Field on Thursday.
We will. Looking forward to it. We'll be visiting with Howie and Josh in the booth. They'll be on with us on the air on Thursday morning before we ever get there. And it should be a fun day. Temperatures now, they're saying 50s. Maybe.
It might rain, though.
Yeah, there could be some scattered whatever. So hopefully it'll hold off. And we'll have
I'm going to sneak
day.
Onto the field and stand on the pitcher's mound.
No,
that's my
not.
Goal. It's my goal.
Yeah. Well, you're going to
I want to meet Thor.
You're going to get arrested, so therefore I'll be doing the show Friday because I'm not bailing you out.
No, thanks a lot.
So in the last segment, you were talking about the lawyers going on CNN.
Oh, on CNN. Yeah, they were snapping each other, and they rendered old Jeffrey Toobin speechless last night.
It was one lawyer for Stormy, one lawyer for Michael Cohen, and, this is how some of this wonderful back and forth sounded.
Let's talk about Michael Cohen, what kind of man this is. This is the kind of guy who claimed, in connection with that story, that there's no such thing as spousal rape. This is a legal genius.
Right, right.
Right. Completely false. The guy doesn't even know the law. He's a thug.
Right, right.
Your friend is thug.
Well, thank you.
A thug.
That's $1 million.
No, that's
$1 million.
Thug.
$1 million.
Thug.
You know what?
Thug.
You're a thug.
Thug.
Anyone
thug.
Would come
thug.
On here.
It's a reality show.
Yeah, that's it.
He's a thug. That's $1 million. You broke that.
These guys are not exactly Clarence Darrow.
Well, supposedly in that non-disclosure agreement, Stormy is supposed to cough up $1 million every time she
opens her mouth.
She
She's opened her mouth a lot over the years, though.
Well, that's something else. Can she pay in Bitcoin? I mean, really? I mean, how much does she must? All right, let's get to the story we talked about with the police union protesting. Well. According to the union, they've been offered a contract, the cops, with no raise. They'd have to pay more for health care. PBA President Patrick Lynch says the city's not even coming to the table with a realistic offer. What'd they do? They stalked Mayor de Blasio yesterday in Park Slope. He was in a coffee shop, and they were chanting, and then he came out of the coffee shop, and they were marching along, and they were... The mayor was with his wife walking down the street. That must be fun.
Well, they went to the gym, the YMCA where he works out, but he wasn't there. He wasn't working out. He was eating pastries in the coffee shop across the street. But, you know, the relationship between him and the police has really never been good. Remember when he first became mayor?
Sure.
And he would attend the funerals and they would turn their backs on him. And I'd always heard that, you know, Bill Bratton, former police commissioner, was in there kind of smoothing things over, trying to keep a lid on this. But you could, the policemen do not like this mayor. And by the way, this mayor, I think, is at his core anti-police.
Wow. So far we
pretends he pretends not to be, but you know, he's from that old 60s lefty tradition of criminals are innocent and police are bad. So that's what he fundamentally believes.
We've been on the air for 30 minutes. You've trashed the governor and the mayor. You haven't gotten around to Obama or Hillary yet. Will that be the next half hour?
Pay us what we're worth. We're the lowest paid police department across this country. That's just wrong.
That's Patrick Lynch, of course, the PBA president.
All we want is a contract, a fair contract, so we can feed our family and live in the city that we protect.
This seems to always
Screechy
be ongoing.
There.
How long have they been without a contract? Joe, do you know how long they've been? I mean, this is like, seems to be going on forever, right?
I don't know. It seems like almost 2 years, yeah.
Without a contract.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm. Maybe longer. I don't know.
Right. Pat Lynch, the PBA president.
The city's not even coming to the table with a realistic offer. They're offering New York City police officers zero raises, trying to take our pension benefits away, and trying to take our health benefits away. That's how we take care of our family. We can't even afford to live in the city that we protect, and we brought from crime to prosperity. And this mayor will not negotiate at the table.
That's a pretty strong comment. We can't afford to live in the city that we're paid to protect.
Well, I think a lot of them live in the suburbs.
Yeah, they don't live in the suburbs.
I don't know too many policemen living in Greenwich Village where I live, but I think most of them, they live in the suburbs.
Right. By the way, I know we have a lot of police listening, so if at any time you want to call in and the
give us a call, 1-800-321-0710
and
forgot the number for a second.
and really, you can remain anonymous if you have a thought about any of this. 800-321-0710 Always happy to hear from you. We do have a lot of police who listen.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Our show,
New York's finest, and they should be paid.
We think they're the best, and this is.
I wonder why De Blasio's hanging back, not wanting to give them the stuff that I think that they deserve. Yeah. Give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. If you're a policeman, let us know what you think about our mayor.
Yeah. So we've got Joe Bartlett back. We missed you yesterday, Joe, dearly.
I mean, that's a knock on Jeff McKinney. You did great job. Jeff's terrific.
No, I just, you know, it's like, you know what Joe's like? He's like a security blanket. Joe's there. You know he's going to be there.
He's always like Jeffrey Toobin sitting in the middle of us, snapping at each other.
No, that was not a slam at McKinney, but you just miss your regular guys. I'm just used to having Bartlett around.
Well, he had a good reason to be gone, right? Can
it
we
was
say?
Family. Yeah,
yeah, family stuff.
Family
he was
stuff.
Celebrating his daughter-in-law's shower.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law's having a baby.
Congratulations.
It's going to be the first girl.
I know,
it's
amazing.
Oh, this is fantastic. Very,
first girl in the Bartlett lineage. All right, time for latest news headlines coming up on 6:31. So, good morning, Joey B.
Hello. Len Michael Davidson, the firefighter killed in that fire last week in Harlem, going to be remembered today. There'll be a funeral service at St. Patrick's Cathedral. A fellow firefighter, Lieutenant Greg D'Amato, says Davidson leaves behind a wife and four young children.
He thought very highly of his children. It wasn't he was a wonderful dad.
Yeah, you can just tell it is a sad day for New York City's firefighters. A funeral will be at 10 o'clock this morning at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Cardinal Dolan will deliver the eulogy. The White House says the removal of dozens of Russians from the U.S. will help make the U.S. safer. The expulsions of around 60 intelligence agents comes in response to the poisoning of an ex-spy and his daughter in Great Britain. White House saying porn star Stormy Daniels is lying. Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah didn't put it in those terms, but says President Trump has consistently denied having sex with her.
Well, the president doesn't believe that any of the claims that Ms. Daniels made last night in the interview are accurate.
Well, Stormy Daniels and her lawyer both say they have evidence to back up their claims. Cynthia Nixon accusing Governor Cuomo of mansplaining sexual harassment to women. Delivering a speech in Albany, Nixon says Cuomo has lectured female state lawmakers on the issue while always citing with male colleagues. A witness at the corruption trial of former Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano seems to be focusing on Mayor de Blasio. Harendra Singh testified that he reimbursed straw donors who contributed to de Blasio. He has pleaded guilty to bribing the mayor, admitting that he gave the mayor tens of thousands of dollars for political favors. All of this coming at the corruption trial of Mangano, but he seems to be focusing on the mayor these days. And our news is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally here, guys, we already know that nobody had a perfect bracket in the NCAA tournament is coming to a conclusion. But how many people you think got the final four exactly right, including Loyola of Chicago, Michigan, Villanova, and Kansas?
Not one.
Actually, several. 17.3 million people did this ESPN bracket competition. Hmm. 550, believe it or not.
Wow.
550 had the final four.
That's
exactly
crazy.
Right. That's point.
They picked Loyola?
It's in the final four. 0.00003%.
Yeah, but still. Those people must either
have
multiple ballots with just all kinds of craziness or throwing darts. I can't believe they actually, you know, thought to pick those teams.
They said more than 5,000 people actually had Loyola in the final four. 5,000 people.
It's crazy.
Sister Jean.
Well, yeah.
Everyone loves Sister Jean.
Believe in miracles? Yes. Thanks, Joey. Coming up, we're going to remember a fallen firefighter. Friends and family right now at St. Patrick's Cathedral this morning to remember Michael Davidson. We'll have that when we come back. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Now, Bernie Viter has our traffic.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, 6:40 here in the city. And, Len, we were just talking about de Blasio's problems with the police and the union, still negotiating their contract. And the police descended on de Blasio when he was trying to enjoy his coffee and pastry protesting yesterday. But Todd has called in on line one. He wants to weigh in on this standoff between the police and the mayor. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning to you.
You there?
You hear me?
Yeah,
I'm
hearing you fine. Go ahead.
Hey, I come from a police family. My brother's a policeman. My father was a policeman. My father was a lieutenant, and my brother right now is a captain. And, you know, years ago, back in my father's day, they didn't get paid the same rate. Now, my brother, who complains the same way that, you know, that you hear a lot of cops are complaining, I feel like they are fairly compensated. My brother, he works in a unit that's not dangerous. He does the barricades. He makes well over $100,000 a year. He's 43 years old. He could retire next year. Free medical for life. He has a pension. He has job security. He has new cars. He's living fine.
Is he still going to be? Is he still going to be talking to you, Todd, after he hears you this morning on our show?
I tell him it's. You know, name one industry where you could just take a test and guarantee yourself a promotion. You know, it's like, you know, in the private sector, it's a lot more political. Like, we're in the police force, it's like you have to get to that level of captain to get there, you know.
So what's Todd, what do you do for a living?
I work in banking.
Banking, so you make way more than that. You're big Wall Street bonuses, right?
No, I do not. I make about $130,000 a year. I have my base pay is about $110,000, and I get about a $22,000 bonus is my last one. But some years it's less. That's the biggest bonus I ever got, and you know, I do not get paid for overtime. I do not get paid for working weekends, and I do about 55-60 hours on average a week. So when you put it on paper, you know, you back out that I have to fund my own retirement. I have to prepare for medical. I'm not going to get along with most people in the private industry.
In other words, Todd, you should have become a policeman.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Todd?
your family's a policeman. You could have become a cop.
Really?
I would have loved to, but I had medical issues as a young man. So, you know.
Yeah.
But
appreciate
tell
the
you
call.
The truth, these offices are necessary, and they do a fantastic job, but. You know, my brother will be the first to say it's not the same as when my dad was an officer. It's like they're making a different level. And, you know, my brother has two new cars. Yeah, they have new iPhones like everybody else. It's just, myself included, everyone wants everything. Years ago, people did without it. A civil servant was a little bit different then than it is now.
All right, Todd, thanks for your call. Any policemen out there, give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. What do you think about this contract standoff with the mayor? All right, we have a sad day in New York, Len. The funeral, 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Cathedral for Michael Davidson, the 37-year-old nozzleman who died in that horrific blaze up in Harlem last week. It's going to be it's a tough day for the firefighters.
It's going to be one of those emotional, especially when the family and the
Eileen
kids
and the
are
four
there.
Kids, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be the eulogy will be delivered by Cardinal Dolan. By the way, the funeral is going to be streamed live at facebook.com/New York City Mayor, as well as facebook.com/FDNY. It's going to be at 10 o'clock, and we'll have Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene later this morning. It's really going to be emotional. This is FDNY Captain Daniel Kudlak.
I just want the city to know, I want this country to know what type of person was lost. But one of the biggest things that I learned about Mike was how much he loved his family, and that's one thing that I really want everyone to know is how much Mike loved his wife Eileen and loved his children.
37 years old, yeah. Four beautiful, beautiful children.
The pictures of his family, really charming, cute, cute family. The kids are cute as buttons.
This is Lieutenant Greg D'Amato.
He thought very highly of his children. I wasn't he was a wonderful dad.
Yeah, that's the kind of day. Everyone will have a lump in his or her throat.
Still not clear on what caused that fire up in Harlem.
They're
saying
no.
Now possibly a boiler. I mean, it was the set of a movie, Motherless in Brooklyn, an Ed Norton movie. And, you know, we were speculating that it might have something to do with all the Klieg lights and all the stuff that they have when they're filming a movie up there. But now apparently they're saying it could be a boiler or something like that. But, you know, really terrible. Right near the fire, a bunch of thieves stole $25,000 worth of stuff from the tenants who had to evacuate their buildings.
Terrible.
I mean, it's
just
ridiculous. Terrible.
So we'll be covering that story all day. So we've been talking about this police issue,
yeah,
and the standoff, and we just had a caller. His brother's a cop. It's not so bad.
He's compensated enough. It's okay. Yeah.
Well, we've got Rob in Oceanside who wants to take issue. Hey, Rob, are you a cop?
Retired cop.
Right.
Now, listen,
Good morning, Rob.
That guy called up and he doesn't know what it's like to be a cop. Yeah, his family members are cops, that's great. But the job is very dangerous. I'm not saying we should pay millions of dollars, but you know what? We also have to eat too. You know what? We go on every day, look at that fireman that just passed away.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a family and kids, God forbid something happens to one of a police officer, you know. You know, people don't realize that police officers' families and their children sacrifice a lot. I'm not saying be paid $1 million, but be paid a fair contract, you know. That's all we're asking for, is for a fair contract. You know, I don't want to hear the benefits when you retire. You know what? Every day you take a risk.
Yeah, well, I agree. Yeah, absolutely, Rob. You're right. I mean, we should not be, trying to just claw back benefits for people who put their lives on the line every day they go to work.
Right. So, you know, that's my point. You know what? Just something that's fair. You know, you got a bozo in there now. You know, he doesn't care about the police department. He's a leftist, way to the leftist, you know. And, he's the dope from Park Slope, you know. Like,
oh, boy.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know? He's the dope from Big Bird from Park Slope.
Big Bird.
We have Clyde Frazier on the phone. All
he's
right,
Rob. He's the guy that went to Cuba on his honeymoon.
Rob's got all the lines. Right. Hey, Rob.
I stole a few of those from Bo Dietl, I think, because he always calls de Blasio Big
all right,
Bird.
Good so. Call, Rob. Thanks,
thanks,
thanks
Rob. Thanks
for listening
a lot.
To
thanks
the show.
Lot,
we
sir,
appreciate
Rob.
That.
Yeah. Hey, Len, are the Giants looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, maybe.
It's an offer he might not be able to refuse. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR.
The key to what he just said was the offer you can't refuse, because that's a second story. So that's a mystery story.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's a real tease.
Yeah. After 9/11, Did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there, or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? If you were in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002, and you've been diagnosed with cancer, if you answered yes to those questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them, $400 million cases. If you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3123 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125.
And now let's check traffic with Bernie Viter.
Coming up on 6:54, good morning, everyone, and here's a question for you.
Yeah.
45 years ago today, movies, Joe Bartlett, go.
I would have no clue.
45 years ago.
You got to give him a bigger hint than that. Come on.
45 years ago today. You want a hint?
Yeah. Give him a hint.
45 years ago today, The Godfather won the Oscar for Best Movie.
Oh, man, I am old.
I know. Good thing you got a lifetime supply of Genucel.
I thought I would be like Gone with the Wind or something.
I got to say, though. Gone with the Wind, that was 800,000 years ago. Jesus.
Wow, The Godfather.
Won the Oscar 45. But, you know, I got to say, I happened to be watching The Godfather just the other night because it's now on Netflix. What, 45-year-old movie, still as fresh, as fantastic, as gripping as if it were just released in the theater.
Absolutely.
Okay. No, I agree. So, okay, it got 10 nominations. How many did they win?
I bet they won 8.
5.
3.
That was it? Well, I believe Best Picture.
Best Actor, I don't know.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
And probably screenplay. Or it could be score because that great theme song by Nino Rota.
Well, you know, that year Cabaret with Liza Minnelli winning Best Actress won 8 Academy Awards.
Oh, right. Bob Fosse.
Really?
Yeah.
Cabaret.
Well,
is that something?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. That was the big compliment.
Well, here's the thing about, you know, Brando got the Best Actor, didn't show up because he was doing some Native American protest.
That's right.
So
he sent Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, to accept his Oscar.
Correct. No, it was Elizabeth's mom. Her name was Shasheen Littlefeather. She was a young Apache, and everyone was stunned because she just proceeded to rip. She was ripping the movie business.
Hello, my name is Shasheen Littlefeather. I'm Apache, and I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I will be glad to share with the press afterwards, that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award.
That's something.
This is when Hollywood. This is when Hollywood.
Yeah. The treatment.
Yeah, this is when Hollywood started going lefty. This was the beginning of let's use our acceptance speech to protest this and protest that, and then we don't forget Vanessa Redgrave would have to come on too to protest Israel and whatnot.
Well,
so.
Clint Eastwood was one of the MCs that night, and he came on after her speech and asked, "Would someone please say a word on behalf of all the cowboys who were killed in Western films?"
That's good.
Good for Clint Eastwood. That's why I like that guy.
All right, say it ain't so, Joe. Your favorite team, the Giants, are they going to let Odell Beckham go? Or is it going to come to that? The great wide receiver?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, the comments from John Mara. I don't think he's considering a trade.
We're certainly not shopping him, if that's what you're asking. Again, when you're coming off a season where you're 3-13 and played as poorly as we played, then I wouldn't say that anybody's untouchable.
Well, now the stories are coming out that the Rams might want him.
What do you get for him?
tons of stuff. If you can get tons of draft picks and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's tough. It's always tough. Even when you get great packages for a player, it is tough to replace that star power. Although some teams have done well.
He's a game changer. I mean, look, I don't like his behavior. And if he continues to be an idiot, then they should get rid of him. But he is a game changer.
Didn't they have a see a picture of him with his girlfriend and pizza and drugs?
Yeah, well, supposedly.
Yeah, well, here's some more of John Mara.
More disappointed than angry. I think too often he allows himself to get put in bad situations, and he needs to use a little better judgment.
So this is going to be a really public and nasty contract fight because he's going to want them. Wasn't he saying last year must be the highest paid player in the history of
in the NFL? Yep.
Is he worth it? Is he worth it to the Giants to pay him what he wants, Joe?
He probably should be the highest paid receiver by all means.
Well, but if he's healthy too, now you got this issue. He hasn't exactly been Mr. Health over the last
season. That was a tough injury.
Well, he's eating pizza all the time.
I guess. This is co-owner Steve Tisch.
At the moment, conversations between Dave Gettleman and Odell's representatives are at the earliest, most premature stages.
All right, so they're just starting out. Gettleman is the new general manager.
Do we know how much he's being paid now?
I don't.
It's just a couple of $1 million because he's got
that's
a
it?
Yeah, well, it's a rookie contract. Mm. This is his opportunity now to get a real pro contract.
Mm. Well, I mean, you think he's worth it?
I do.
Well,
you don't, Len?
No, I don't know what you do if you blow up a team's budget for one guy. I don't know if this. I just don't know if the guy's worth it. If he's going to be trouble.
Well, if he's going to be trouble, you're right.
I just don't know. I'm not playing dumb. I just don't know if it's worth paying a guy all that much money if this is the way he's going to pay you back. He's always going to be a problem. Well, we shall see. Coming up, President Trump is denying his one-night stand with the porn star, and he's also kicking 60 Russian diplomats out of the country. We're going to talk about all of that with ABC political analyst Alex Castellanos. He's always interesting to listen to. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up right now. After the news, it's 7 o'clock.
Live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And good morning to you, everybody. 7:05 in the big city. Hope you're listening in the tri-state area or on the iHeart app around the country. Michael Riedel, how are you to this fine Tuesday?
I am fine, Len. Good morning to you.
Morning to you. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Alex Castellanos. He's an interesting guy. He's the ABC News political analyst.
Very
as
sharp.
Always.
Good sense of humor, too.
Lots to discuss, but...
No, there's nothing going on with Trump. Come on. It's quiet there in the White House. No chaos.
A few minutes ago, if you were with us, we were discussing what happened 45 years ago tonight. That would be The Godfather winning Best Movie of
the
1972,
Oscar.
Even though the ceremony was in 73, but was nominated for 10 awards, only won three. One for Best Movie, Marlon Brando won for Best Actor.
Though he didn't accept the award, he sent Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, in his place to accept it.
She made the speech, right? Yeah. And she went, woo, woo, woo.
Cultural appropriation. Yeah. I am deeply offended by
as
that.
As opposed to calling her Pocahontas.
I didn't call her Pocahontas. That's what Trump called her. The President of the United States calls her.
So the President told you to jump off the Empire State Building.
Yes.
So
anyway, I do what I'm told by my leader.
The third award, we were speculating, because nominated for 10 awards, only won three.
Yeah.
Writing, as you surmise, for a screenplay from another medium, and that was Mario Puzo for his great book, The Godfather.
Yes. Oh, it's a
terrific Francis
book.
Ford Coppola, who is the director. Now, Bob Fosse won for director, Cabaret, and Liza Minnelli.
Sensational movie, too, Cabaret.
Won 8 Academy Awards, but listen to the category for Best Supporting Actor. Listen to this. It was won by Joel Grey for Cabaret.
He played the MC, yeah.
But there were three. James Caan, Robert Duvall, and Al Pacino.
And they all lost to Joel Grey.
And the poor Eddie Albert for The Heartbreak Kid was like lost in the shuffle.
Now, Joel Grey was not that good.
Joel Grey is sensational in Cabaret. Come on. He's sort of with a white face. He's scary. Berlin Nightmare. Look at Show Queen Bartlett over here. Bienvenue. Who knew?
Was James Caan in The Godfather.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
terrific.
He comes out and messes up the photographer and throws a few bucks at him
he was
driveway.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but,
God.
You know, one of the great scenes, though,
what,
when he
bag
comes...
What, bag of the bridesmaid?
No. When he comes up... to the toll taker.
Oh, yeah.
He's really angry. And then what does the toll taker do? He just drops down. And Khan looks around and all of a sudden.
What a chilling scene.
Fabulous scene.
Chilling, chilling scene. Our big three stories this morning. Obviously, we start on a sad note with the funeral at St. Patrick's for fallen firefighter Michael Davidson. Funeral gets underway at 10 o'clock. There'll be quite a display of FDNY on hand.
Yep.
And Alice Stockton Rossini is on the scene, and she'll report for us later this morning.
Yep.
Also in the Big Three, and we will be discussing this, of course, with Alex Castellanos of ABC News shortly. White House denies all in the Stormy Daniels affair. As meanwhile, the porn star files suit against the president's attorney for defamation.
Yeah, simply because the attorney called her a liar. Is she really going to get away with that frivolous suit just because she was called a liar? I mean, what do you expect the president's attorney to say to someone who's accusing him of having the affair? Of course he's going to call her a liar. Reality. And by the way, the president has told aides that Stormy Daniels is not his type.
Oh, well, sure. That woman that he grew up on first class wasn't his type.
Now stop it, allegedly. Stop.
And rounding out the big three, Cynthia Nixon takes off the gloves, calling the governor.
Now that's his type,
bully.
Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah.
Now we've coming seen up, his yeah. type. We've seen his type, Len. Stormy Daniels isn't his type.
Not at all. She's
not
too old.
At all, yeah.
Well, how about the playmate?
Well, that's she's my type. She's everybody's type. The playmate. Can't hold it against him if that's his type.
We believe that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mets tickets coming your way at 7:30. Four tickets coming your way at 8:30. And you know we're excited. Coming up this morning at 9:20. Do you know some of these songs? Some great, great
I jogged
songs.
You know, I jogged to all those songs. They're all on my iPad when I or my iPod when I jogged.
The writer of all those songs, and now going on Broadway
in Chicago,
the great Valerie Simpson
is going to be with us.
Looking forward to speaking with her at 9:20. But right now, it's a pleasure to welcome in ABC News political commentator Alex Castellanos. I'm already laughing, Alex. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. What's going on?
Stormy Daniels is not Trump's type, Alex.
No. I think he needs to be worried whether Melania thinks he's her type.
No, that's a good point.
Very good point.
That's where the storm is.
Yeah,
for sure. So what do you make? I mean, the president has commented on everything on Twitter, and when it comes to Stormy Daniels, it's radio silence.
It tells me he's still married.
Well, that's true.
and this has got to be very tough for the First Lady of the United States. It's difficult enough to go something like this, you know, in a divorce proceeding. But when you're going through this in the eyes of the world, you have a young child in school who is, you're sure is hearing all of this. This has got to be very tough within the Trump household. So, yes, the president is radio silent on this. Now we finally discovered what it takes to stop the president from tweeting.
There you go.
It's a 39-year-old porn star. There you are. Hey, Alex, any concern here about campaign finance violations because Trump's lawyer paid Stormy Daniels this $130,000 out of his own pocket, apparently, and that could be considered a campaign contribution that would way exceed the campaign finance limits?
Yeah, they kind of have laws against that. You know, you can help out your friend and give your friend a contribution to help solve legal problems and whatever you'd like to do. But if your friend is a candidate running for federal office, that's a campaign contribution, and you can't do that. So, yes, this is exposure here, and it's exposure for Michael Cohen. But is it anything to do with Donald Trump? That's going to be impossible, I think, to prove. Cohen is a loyal soldier. He's been in the Trump orbit for years. You know, he'll take a bullet. And so does this do anything to impact the Trump reelect in 2020 or the Trump presidency? Nah. He survived worse than this and will continue to.
By the way, his approval rating, the latest approval ratings are up. He's gained several points. So obviously this has not affected anything.
Donald Trump is the rock. Donald Trump is the rock Americans wanted to throw through Washington's window. And when Americans see him, okay, he's dating a porn star. He's causing trouble over here with China. He's doing all these things. They go, that's terrific. Throw it through Washington's window again.
Alex,
that's what Americans want.
Right, Alex. So Trump is finally getting somewhat tough with the Russians, agreeing with Europe to expel diplomats. But he still seems to want a good relationship with Putin. How is he going to square that?
Well, that's typical Donald Trump. You know, he's all carrot and stick. He is all he is the threat and the embrace all at once. It's how he does business. And so he's been tough on Russia all along. You know, he sent 59 Tomahawk missiles at their puppet state in Syria. He's beefed up an American battalion on the front lines of NATO. So he's been tough all along while he's been playing footsie with Putin. This is how Donald Trump operates. He is never moves in a straight line. He's always bouncing off both guardrails while he's moving forward.
Do you think that, Alex, do you think that's a deliberate strategy on his part, or is he just kind of all over the place?
Making up as he goes along.
Yeah. I think strategy is a word alien to the Trump psyche. I think it is Trump's predatory instinct. I think Trump is the T-Rex of American politics. You know, he is all reptilian brain. Anything that enters his world, he'll either eat it, kill it, or mate with it. He is all over it, and he's bouncing off all the guardrails to achieve what he wants to do.
Well, what's doing now with the White House, with the staff? I mean, who's next to go? What's with the revolving door? Now the report's coming out, it was in the Times, that maybe he wants to bring Rob Porter, who abused some women.
Well, there's some desks available.
They want to bring him back. What are you hearing?
That's the tough part of all of this, you know. Unless this is the most brilliant strategy to reduce the size of government that I've ever seen, Donald Trump is undermanned in the White House. He doesn't have a lot of help. Nobody wants to go in there because you're going to have to pay a lot of legal bills out of your own pocket. It's going to be hard to get a job after you get out. And while you're there, the president's not going to listen to you and may yank the rug out from you, under you at any moment. So on the one hand, this disruptive force is bringing a lot of change to Washington. Look, Washington's predictability was predictable failure. Both parties, they've ruined the country. And Donald Trump is disrupting that. That's the good news. The bad news is his disruptive style is disrupting and destroying his own presidency.
Mm. Alex, always enjoyable to speak with you. Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst. You've left us with the great thought that he's the T-Rex, he's reptilian, he wants to eat it, kill it, or mate with it.
He's doing all three with the Russians, apparently.
Good to be with you guys.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. That is a funny line.
It is a very good line. Eat it, kill it, or mate with it.
That's the T-Rex Donald Trump.
Or watch, in the case of Stormy Daniels, Shark Tank with it.
Okay. Fine. you can choose whatever you want from whichever of these categories. All right. We got a lot coming up, a lot to talk about. We're learning more about the deadly helicopter crash in the East River. We're going to take you through the final moments of that flight.
Yeah, when we chilling. Come back. Chilling. Yeah.
Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR.
Hey, you could have surgery to look younger, but why on earth would you do that? A much better way to go is Genucel by Chamonix. Imagine the bags and the puffiness under your eyes disappear. They take years. That takes years off your appearance. Genucel contains natural ingredients for incredible results safely and quickly. It's as simple as that. In fact, you will see results immediately, within 12 hours. And I can testify to that. I have been using Genucel since this past weekend, putting it on my face, which at 51 is beginning to show the wrinkles, and they are already going away. I feel fresh and sprightly when I put it on. I'm going to use it on my neck, which is beginning to look like something a harpsichordist could play, with all those little wrinkles on that. So I'm going to be putting Genucel there too. It is the perfect time now to try Chamonix's brand new Genucel Eyelift for droopy, sagging eyelids. Order Genucel today and get the brand new Genucel Eyelift
absolutely free. Go to GenuCell.com. That's GenuCell.com. Or call 1-800-577-8627. 1-800-577-8627. Call now, and express shipping is also free. So call 1-800-577-8626. I'm sorry, 1-800-577-8627. 1-800-577-8627. Or go to GenuCell.com. Start using it now. You will see the difference in 12 hours.
All righty. Coming up next, traffic. Here's Bernie Vice.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Get ready. 7:30, Len. We're going to be giving away Mets tickets to the Mets versus the Cardinals game on Saturday. Be standing by for that.
That's
7:30.
Great. And we just got word that Mets manager Mickey Callaway will be our special guest tomorrow.
Terrific.
At 7:40. So the manager of the Mets will join us one day before opening day, give us the scoop, what he expects from the season. Looking forward to that. We've had him on a couple of times already. Just a terrific guy.
Yeah.
Terrific guest. I hope he turns out to be a great manager. Joins us tomorrow at 7:40, Mickey Callaway.
And Len and I will be at the opening day on Thursday.
You got it.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be on the pitcher's mound.
No, you're not. And more Mets tickets coming your way at 8:30. So 7:30 and 8:30 for Mets tickets. Don't call now. Call and we tell you.
Stand by, because it's coming up in 5 minutes. Len, some details are emerging about that helicopter crash a couple of weeks ago into the East River. The pilot of that open-door tour helicopter, Richard Vance, his name is, he does now tell investigators that indeed his fuel supply was cut off, and he noticed part of the passenger's restraint underneath the switch. So we don't have this confirmed yet, and it's going to take a while for investigators to figure this out. But apparently, it may have been one of those restraints that one of the tourists was supposed to be wearing that somehow caught the fuel switch and turned it off. Because Vance, when the copter was going down, he went to actually turned the fuel switch off himself and realized it was already turned off. That's when he realized it was going down into the dunk.
I wonder what the configuration is where a passenger seat and a restraint would be so close to this switch.
The pilot says, this is what he's told investigators, he noticed the front seat passenger's restraint was hanging from the seat, and he then told him to put it back on. But the guy moved to take those selfies, you know, where your feet dangle out of the plane by the Empire State Building or something like that.
Sure.
And that's when something happened. The fuel switch went off. The helicopter went down. Now, Vance claims once it was in the East River, he did try to save one of the passengers, but, you know, really an impossibility because they were still strapped in and the copter was turning upside down and the currents were taking it along. So still a lot of stuff here. I mean, I just think it's silly to have these helicopters with these doors open and these extreme selfies people want to take. And, you know, now there's word that the harnesses may not have been approved by the Federal Aviation Bureau, that they may have been bought at a Home Depot or something like that. So a lot more is going to come out about this crash in the East River.
Well, the headline, though, is that the fuel was turned off during the flight, apparently, at least according to the pilot. But that was a bit of news that he said he did try to save one passenger, because we all wondered about that. He got out of there and the other five unfortunately perished.
Well, if you
wondered,
if you watch the video, he does what he's supposed to do. He brings that copter down rather slowly and lands it in the East River, but then the inflatables didn't seem to work. One side worked and the other side they seemed to be sort of dragging, and that's when the copter tipped 45 degree angle and then began sinking, and he got out, but he couldn't save the five other people.
Did you see the video yesterday of that man who was a disturbed guy on the Triborough Bridge high up?
Otherwise known now as the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge.
Yeah, but of course, you know, for all of us New Yorkers,
it's still the Triborough Bridge.
Anyway, he was up on one of those high towers, and he was threatening to jump off. And this is always dicey, so NYPD released the video, but the emergency service workers gathered around. And they said the guy was desperate. He was seeking help. And what happened, I couldn't tell from the video, but apparently the story comes out that the guy who was threatening to jump had tied a string around his neck and lost consciousness. And at that time...
So he was going to hang himself from the bridge?
I don't know. I thought he was going to jump. I don't know what he was doing, but he had tied a rope around his neck. Anyway, Detective Claudio Sanchez, at that moment, When the guy had the lost consciousness, he had a leg dangling over the concrete ledge. He sprinted and pulled the guy away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
into a harness.
Yeah, fast. We had no second thought, Sanchez said. It had to be done. The reaction was, let's grab this guy and make sure we can get him down safely. Whatever problems he had, they can be resolved later.
Well, there was a happy ending. I don't know what's going to be with this guy. Obviously, this is a troubled soul, and there's no reason to think he won't try to pull another stunt or try to take his own life again. But at least for the time being, they pulled this 31-year-old off the concrete into a harness. But, you know, talk about the great job of the emergency services unit officers who were called to make this kind of rescue. Can you imagine that?
They're risking their lives to scale up that bridge to get near that guy.
I wonder, they must be obviously trained how to talk to these people who are threatening to jump or threatening to take their own lives. That's got to be a tough conversation. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, you feel sorry for this guy, too. Clearly a troubled soul. But suicide prevention help. If you know anyone is in trouble, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Len. So you got a friend who is in need, have them reach out to the suicide hotline. So.
Good idea. You know what time it is.
It is now time to give away Mets tickets. Now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cardinals this Saturday at Citi Field. So I want you to be caller number 14 at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. If you're caller number 14, you're the winner. Brought to you by the New York Mets and Coca-Cola. Opening weekend at Citi Field features a Mets Build-A-Bear Teddy giveaway to the first 15,000 fans in attendance this Saturday and a tote bag giveaway to all fans on Sunday. For tickets to opening weekend, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the news from Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, fallen firefighter will be remembered this morning. Funeral going to be held at St. Patrick's Cathedral today for Michael Davidson. 37-year-old firefighter died last week of smoke inhalation, battling a fire in Harlem.
But one of the biggest things that I learned about Mike was how much he loved his family. And that's one thing that I really want everyone to know is how much Mike loved his wife, Eileen, and loves his children.
Davidson leaves behind 4 young children. He was posthumously promoted to lieutenant. Police protesting. Mayor de Blasio greeted him outside his gym in Brooklyn, led by PBA President Pat Lynch. They're calling for better pay.
All we want is a contract, a fair contract, so we can feed our family and live in the city that we protect.
Lynch claims the New York City police are the lowest paid police department in the country. The contract impasse now at binding arbitration. Speaking of the mayor, a witness at the corruption trial of former Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano says he funneled illegal cash to the mayor. Harendra Singh testified that he reimbursed straw donors who contributed to de Blasio. This is a trial about the Nassau County executive, but it seems to be a trial of Mayor de Blasio at this point. The 2020 U.S. Census will include a question about citizenship status for the first time in decades. Commerce Department announced a decision yesterday, even after critics warned that the move could result in a massive drop in response rate from immigrants fearing that they could be deported. In a statement, the Commerce Department said the data will permit more effective enforcement of the Voting Rights Act.
Isn't California suing over that?
California is suing to stop it, as you would expect them.
Yes, they want to secede from the country. Bastion of left-wingers.
All right, enough.
All right, we spoke a little bit a while ago about Odell Beckham Jr. Got another giant in the news this morning. This is a former member of the Giants refusing to be inducted into the Montana Football Hall of Fame because he claims football destroyed his life.
That's something.
Corey Widmer.
Oh, sure.
Linebacker for the Giants, 1992 to 99. Mm-hmm. He says after countless concussions, he suffers from a degenerative brain disease. He has depression, memory problems, and mood swings. He says, I'm 49 years old, depressed to the nth degree, but I have a lot of money. And well, some people might think it was worth it. And to them, I just tell them, watch what you wish for. Yeah,
money does not buy happiness.
See,
not,
that's one of the arguments they make. Well, you know, they know what they're getting into here.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough. I don't know. Do you think in the long run it's going to have an effect on football and people's support for football that these brain injuries are now coming out regularly?
Well, there are studies. Fewer and fewer kids are signing up for football. A lot of parents don't want their kids to play football. So
one of the other things, too, is that I think there are players who are reluctant to even report head injuries because then it kind of hurts in contract negotiations if you're concussion prone.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Interesting.
Big issue.
Long-term problems for football. Long-term problems for football. All right. Cynthia Nixon is accusing Governor Cuomo of mansplaining. Find out what she's lashing out at when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
On 710 WOR.
It's 7:40. Good morning to you on a Tuesday. It's March the 27th. 2 days until opening day, and on that subject, we've got a winner for the Mets tickets at 7:30. It's the Manny.
Manny Sakalakis from Franklin Lakes, New Jersey.
What's that last name again?
Sakalakis.
You were practicing that the entire break.
No. Let me say, I would imagine, I know a little bit about Greece. Sakalakis.
Yes, actually, I think Greek. It's Sakalakis.
Sakalakis.
Oh, so you blew it.
Sakalakis. I was Manny's Sakalakis.
Just call him the Manny if you watch This Is Us.
But Natalie, who is Greek-American, Sakalakis, Crete, would that be a Cretan name?
Cretan? That's what you call someone from Crete?
Yes, you call them a Cretan.
No,
yes,
you did not.
It is true. Is that true?
Yes.
I spoke to him because...
Is that true? Someone from Crete
is a Cretan? Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
It is. That is what half my family is.
Your family's a bunch of Cretans?
Yes.
I have been to Crete. It is it's the biggest Greek island. It's a great, great island. I spent 10 days there hiking through a famous gorge, and the gorge opens onto the beautiful Sea of Libya, which is a tumultuous sea, but it's warm, so you can jump in the waves.
Libya?
It's called the Sea of Libya, and you can bounce in the waves all day long because the temperature's great. I love Crete.
Were you in Gaddafi Cove?
If you ever want to impress your friends, if you ever meet anyone with the last name that ends with A-K-I-S.
That's a Cretan name?
That is they're usually from Crete or a small island around it, so it's a little funny trick you can do.
If you've got the time, get yourself to Crete. It was one of the best vacations I ever had.
You're a weird guy. You hike for miles, man.
I'm a trekker.
That stuff.
I love it. I had a great time.
So we have more Mets tickets coming your way at 8:30. We have a 4-pack, and of course Thursday's opening day tomorrow at this time. Market 24 hours from right now. Mickey Callaway, Mets new manager, will be our special guest. And we're also going to have, on opening day, we'll have one of the Mets will come on with us in the morning. Yeah.
Do we know who yet?
No, not yet. And Howie and Josh will join us. So it'll be a day of festivities. And, of course, we'll be going out to the ballpark.
But, our favorite Met, though, is Brandon Nimmo.
Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah. We had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Unbelievably charismatic. Yeah. Recently got married. Yeah. Is excited to be here in New York. Yeah. I mean, just a terrific guy.
Play center field. He'll platoon probably with Juan Lagares. And I love his Twitter handle. You found Nimmo.
That's right. Likes Broadway shows, too. I promised I would give tickets for him and his wife. I will, absolutely.
All right, so obviously we have the funeral coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll be going to Alice Stockton Rossini after the news at 8. Funeral for Michael Davis in the St. Patrick's. I got an email from Bob, who's a volunteer firefighter in Port Washington, which is my area. He's telling me that all the volunteer firefighting units are setting up these ladder arches along the highways from Floral Park to the Cross Island Parkway, because obviously the funeral procession, Floral Park is where the wake was.
Right.
So
right.
As the casket and the procession comes by, all the volunteer units will have ladders as arches over the roadways.
You know, the death of this fireman is really, really touched this city. Really touched this city, I think. And you see the pictures of his beautiful family, and it's just heartbreaking. Leaves behind four kids, three daughters, one son, and now a widow, Eileen.
Yeah. Well, I think if Cynthia Nixon, she's shaking things up, and so far, for the most part, the governor has held fire. You know, she's running for governor in the primary.
She's going right after Andrew Cuomo, coming at him from the left. Now, I bet if I've figured this Cuomo character out, he's trying to restrain himself, but he is so arrogant. He is the most arrogant political figure.
You're not a Cuomo fan.
I am not. And I'm Jet. He's steaming. I bet he's thinking, who is this twit little actress causing trouble for me, put up there by my mortal enemy, Bill de Blasio? I bet he can't stand her, but he's going to have to show restraint because he can't mansplain her away.
Well, what she does is, and where she's already been criticized, is she'll take on corruption, and she'll charge Cuomo, but she doesn't mention anything about the charges against her friend de Blasio.
That could be an issue for her down the line. You know, we've got Mr. Singh out there in trial, the Mangano trial, saying that, by the way, I kicked some bucks to old Bill de Blasio, too. And Cynthia was struggling to try to explain that.
Yeah, well, anyway, she showed up in Albany yesterday, and here's what she had to say.
He's cleaned up Albany about as well as Donald Trump has drained the swamp.
There you go. Take that, Riedel. Take that, Mr. Republican.
Listen, I mean,
you want to hear that again? If you didn't hear it, here you
all
go.
Right, bye.
He's cleaned up Albany about as well as Donald Trump has drained the swamp.
Yeah. They don't know what to react.
I'm sure she's a left winger. She's to the left of Bernie Sanders, probably. But I like the fact that she's taking on Cuomo. I don't think he should cruise to a re-election. I think he's arrogant. I think the people around him are arrogant. And he should have a little competition from Sex and the City, Cynthia Nixon.
So what's this mansplaining line all about? What does that mean?
Well, she says, I have seen Andrew Cuomo mansplaining and lecturing women on sexual harassment.
Yeah.
I have read about him lecturing State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins that Jeff Klein is more qualified in understanding suburban voters better than she does. Now, Jeff Klein has been accused of going in for an unwanted kiss. Planning a wet one on a woman after they had that very romantic budget was passed in 2015.
I'm going to attack her.
He was out at a bar with this woman.
That was a real turd on that.
They were celebrating the budget passing, and he lost control of himself, and he moved in for the peck, for the kiss.
Well, here's what Cynthia Nixon had to say about this mansplaining, which is getting some headlines.
I have seen Andrew Cuomo mansplaining and lecturing women on sexual harassment. I have read about him lecturing Andrea Stewart Cousins, that Jeff Klein is more qualified in understanding suburban voters better than she does, despite her being a senator who oversees the suburbs of Westchester.
Well, there you go.
Do you understand what mansplaining is, though, right?
Yes, it's when a man condescends to try to tell a woman something that he thinks she probably is too dumb to grasp.
Exactly.
So when you
speak to a woman in a condescending way.
That's how I talk to Len every morning.
Exactly.
Wait. So when you were explaining how this NCAA tournament was working.
Were you woman-splaining?
Natalie?
Actually, you can woman-splain to me about sports all the time, Natalie, because I am too dumb to understand any of it.
We've all seen it. Andrew the bully. He bullies other elected officials.
Yes.
He bullies anyone who criticizes him. He even bullies the media with his reference to your small questions.
Yes, she's right, Len.
But worst of all,
Calm down.
Budgets bully our children and our families by shortchanging them.
I'm going to hose you down,
Riedel. He is a bully. When he talks, he sounds like a bully. She's right.
All right, coming up, maybe they should have just gone to church. You're not going to believe what a Georgia mother did to prove to her kids that God is real. Didn't quite work out. That's coming up. Plus, your next chance is $1,000. Coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Let's go to traffic and Bernie Vite.
Good morning, everybody, at 7:50 in the morning. Good morning, Len.
Good morning to you. You know, this is the fourth week of our show.
Yes.
Tuesday. I got an email. Our show has a Twitter handle.
It does.
Yeah. His name is Oscar. It sounds like my...
It's Oscar...
What's
Oscar
that song?
What?
My song? My...
I'm an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Our show has a Twitter handle. It's at Len Michael WOR.
Well, that makes sense.
And we...
Right.
How's this for a tweet we just got?
Oh.
Fourth weekend. Still absolutely love the show. Michael fits right in with the rest of the team. Keep up the great work. You know, my only concern is that
there's no mention of you.
That's
your concern, Len.
No, my concern is the Twitter handle of this person who said the tweet is Fruit Loops. So that's kind of my concern.
Because I'm the Broadway guy. Because I'm the Broadway guy.
Yeah, well, so far, so good.
That's right.
We may come back for a fifth week. You never know.
You
We're going to threaten
know.
You.
That's it. All right. Now, here's a weird one for you. A Georgia mom...
Yeah.
Accelerated and crashed her vehicle into a pole while driving with her children to prove to them that God is real. The woman's name is Bakari Warren, she's 25 years old. She told authorities she intentionally collided with a concrete pole Wednesday morning to show her young children that God would protect them. Now, fortunately, Len, the kids, who are only 5 and 7 years old,
and God protected them,
were not injured in the crash and corroborated their mother's account, you know. Unfortunately, Ms. Warren was arrested and booked on charges of child cruelty. She is being held on $22,000 bond. I wonder if God will post bail for her.
Well, the kids are now in the custody of grandparents, but I like the quote from one of the kids. You know, the kids are 5 and 7. They said, quote, her eyes were closed and she was saying, blah, 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 I love God, which I think is an official... an official religious phrase.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, I love God.
I wonder.
She didn't want us to have a car accident. She wanted us to know that God is real.
This makes no sense to me. She drives the car into a concrete pole with her children in the back seat to prove to them that God is real. Thanks a lot.
What, you think she's playing with a full deck?
No, I don't think so. I wonder if there was something else. She was she wasn't just high on God, perhaps. Right. Maybe she was high on something else.
Maybe she was being chased by hawks.
Oh, whoa.
So you're wondering why I'm playing hawks.
I know why you're playing hawks. Yeah. Do you like the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds, Len?
It's kind of a creepy movie.
Oh, it's a great movie when Suzanne Plachette is sitting there in the playground.
Yeah,
there's one crow on the jungle gym, and all of a sudden, the next cut, there are a bunch of crows, and then she starts to get worried, and the crows dive bomb her and peck her eyes out. Well, we got...
they pecked her eyes out?
Yeah, they pecked her eyes out. Yeah, don't you remember? She looks
she's
up at her...
blind?
Yes, her... well, her eyes are gone. They peck her eyes out.
I guess that would make it difficult to see.
It would indeed.
See,
well,
study.
We have...
Well, that was the audio from The Birds.
That was the audio from The Birds, the great Alfred Hitchcock movie. Well, we have a real-life birds going on up in Fairfield, Connecticut. Police are telling people to be aware that hawks are targeting heads of clueless pedestrians up in Fairfield, Connecticut. The warning comes after a hawk attacked an Old Mill Road resident in her yard on March 19th. And there have been numerous previous hawk incidents, they're calling them, as these hawks swoop down and peck away at the backs of people's
heads.
Oh, the
heads. Back. So yeah. The eyes are okay.
The eyes are okay, but you can, you know, have a some pecking away at the back of your head. Apparently, it's because there are it's a nesting area. This place, Old Mill Road in Mill River, is a nesting area for the birds. And people walking alone, not when they're walking together. I guess the hawks are scared away by groups of people. But when you're walking alone along Old Mill Road or Sycamore Lane and Henry Street, the hawks come in for the peck.
We have some audio here from people in the area, courtesy of ABC and NBC.
I ended up having to go to the walk-in, and they gave me antibiotics. I had a big scratch on my head, so, yeah.
And the mailman's been attacked quite a few times, too.
Yeah.
The mailman?
Wait, did you hear that person? Is this her friend, or is this the reporter? Wait, who's laughing?
I ended up having to go to the walk-in, and they gave me antibiotics. I had a big scratch on my head, so...
She just felt this, like, boom! And she went down, she stumbled. She had evidence of the hit, because the claws had scratched the back of her head.
Wow.
It's Tippi Hedren.
Really incoming.
That's Tippi Hedren laughing in the background.
Incoming.
The birds.
Who would be laughing there?
Hey, you know, down in Sarasota, Florida, where my parents live, they have a cute, adorable little teacup Maltese, and they are always fearful when they take Hannah, the dog, out for a walk, because they've got hawks flying around there, too, and the hawks will come down and dive bomb the little dogs to try to pick them up. And
your relatives will laugh like that person. Oh, I have a scratch on my head. Ha, 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 that's hilarious.
Well, listen, if you're up there in Fairfield, Connecticut, be careful. You do not want to turn into Suzanne Plachette from The Birds. All right, a funeral.
Sorry.
No wise. A funeral is being held this morning for firefighter Michael Davidson. We'll talk to WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini live at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.